As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord, may I ever speak as though it were the last word I could speak. May I ever behave as though it were the last action I could perform. May I ever suffer as though it were the last pain that I had. May I ever pray as though it were for me on earth the last chance to speak to you. Please be seated. Before I get into the sermon, a couple of things I want to say. The collect for today is interesting. It says, "Eternal God, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning." It doesn't say anything about, what does it say? It says about learning. What is a disciple? A disciple means a learner. It doesn't say anything about literal. It doesn't say anything about prose. It doesn't say anything about poetry. It doesn't say anything about you're going to burn to hell if you don't believe in this stuff. It doesn't say any of that. And it says for our learning. So I want us to remember that, because I am going to preach on the Old Testament. And that's a pretty serious reading today. So I want us to think the context of the Old Testament and then take it to how it applies to us today. So when they talk about foreign gods, what are our foreign gods?
Cell phone.
Social media. That's the context I want us to think about. And that's what Scripture does, inspires us to learning. Anyhow, I'm preaching on Joshua. So I was having a wonderful conversation with a woman in the pool this past week, and discovered that both of us had a very similar experience. She shared that a school friend of hers had died a short time ago, and he was very young, not quite 40. She was struck by how easily we forget that time is short, and she remembered the times that they had in school and how we never know how our life will turn out. So here's the thing. Today could be the last day of our life. The last day we look in the mirror. The last minute we spend with our husbands, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, and all those who are close to us. And then the conversation further came around is, what if the last words we spoke, oh boy, were ones of anger? This happens to all of us, right? At our spouse, our children, our work colleagues, close friends. So I had a similar experience. I'm having a lot of experiences these days. Last week, when upon waking, I heard, what if this was the last day of your life? What if when you look in the mirror, it was the last time you saw your face? I got to say, I was hoping my hair would look good, but that's besides the point. Anyhow, I was filled, and maybe you've experienced that, with this great sadness, thinking about what parts of my life I had neglected, the words and the actions I could never take back. Had I really lived my one and only life, because that's all I know about. I don't know about anything else. Either do any of us. Had I really lived my one and only life trusting and giving glory to God? Had I lived my life not acting as a Christian, but being a Christian, a disciple of Christ? And I thought about, maybe you think about this too, about what people would say about me. And I've done enough funerals, and so I've talked about people, how I've lived my life, what would be the words chosen to remember me. And it was a sobering wake-up call. And then my cat jumped on my face, so I knew it was time to get up. It was a sobering wake-up call filled with some regrets and lots of remembering. So in the Old Testament lesson, we read the last words of the great Hebrew commander Joshua to the people of Israel. Karl Barth, theologian, Germany, said, "I take the Bible far too seriously to take it literally." So remember that. This may have happened, it may not, we don't know. But that's not what Scripture is for. What is Scripture for? To teach us, right? For learning. Anyhow, so Joshua is sensing his own death. He wants to make sure that they understand what has happened to them and what is important. So what does he do? He's asking them to remember the great works of their God. And he starts at the beginning. And he tells them the story. He calls the Israelites together to give them his final instructions. They had been living in the promised land for several years. And our scripture said that they, you know, the Amorites had already left town. Or they were maybe still there. I don't know. They were living. He says, remember what the Lord God has done for you. Remember his promises. Remember his mercy. And remember who and what our Lord is. Remembering our blessings and giving thanks. Developing prayerful hearts. Reflecting on our spiritual condition. And becoming faithful stewards. That's mining the text. That's going under the text. For it is in remembering that God has helped us, that God has always provided, and God will keep his promises. And we are transformed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit. So beginning in chapter 23, Joshua asks people to remember that they themselves have been everything the Lord has, that they have seen everything the Lord has done. They've seen it all. The Lord had demonstrated his strength. He delivered them from slavery. He saved them from certain slaughter by the pursuing Egyptians when he parted the Red Sea, and he gave victory against their many enemies in the promised land. How does that apply to us today? What are our enemies? What is it that takes our focus off our spiritual life? Cell phones? Social media? Ego? Yeah, that's a big one. When the people were hungry and thirsty, he led them. When they were losing the way, what does he say? By day, the Lord went ahead in a pillar of cloud to guide them on the way, and by night, a pillar of fire to guide them light so they could travel by day or night. Joshua says, remember those things. Never forget. Tell your children and your children's children that I am your God and there is no other. See now that I myself am he. There's no God beside me. There's a whole thing in Deuteronomy. Joshua's dying words to the Hebrews were, so now revere the Lord, serve him honestly and faithfully. As Christians, we understand that we live in the light of eternity. So we need to be very aware of what our last words, our last minutes on this earth. None of us know what second will be our last. The psalmist writes, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. See how scripture's for learning? Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Psalm 39. Scripture continually reminds us to remember, to never forget God's purposes and plans for his world and his creation. And Joshua pleads with the Israelites. Put aside the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt and serve the Lord. See, they were still serving pagan gods. They were still serving Baal. They just bring those little statues and just hide them in the tent. You need to make a choice. Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. You need to make a choice. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Remember, Joshua says the Lord has a plan and a purpose for you. This is for us too. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you go through the fires of oppression, you will not get burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43. Whatever trials and difficulties we are going through, the Lord promises to be there. The Lord doesn't promise to take them away. Lord promises to be there. No waters can drown us. No fires can burn us up. There is nothing the Lord can do, because the Lord is a promise keeper, not a promise breaker. Joshua knew the weaknesses of the people. He knew where they were most vulnerable and what would cause them to transgress. So he gave them three commands to keep them on the straight and narrow. What does he write? Follow all that is written in the book of instruction without turning to the left or turning to the right. Do not associate with pagan nations or worship their gods. Do not intermarry with pagan nations. That's an interesting prohibition. He could have told them to pray six times a day or be mindful what they ate or drank. Instead, he cautioned them against a much bigger threat. It would be those around who would tempt them, who would give up loving and trusting the one Lord Jehovah. We may find ourselves in the same boat. We can be tempted. I was tempted. Oh my gosh, I was so tempted the other day. I was in Freshco, and right at the takeout counter, there were six donuts. And they were like, have you seen those donuts, right? Oh, icy donuts. And they were $1.69. I was so tempted, because I could have bought those donuts and I could have gone home, had a cup of tea, and ate every single one of them. Then I would have felt guilty forever. But I know that's a small temptation, but for me, that's a biggie. Knowing our areas of weaknesses, we can develop strategies to harness them instead of being overwhelmed by them. But if you turn away and cling to the customs of the survivors of this nation remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. This chilling prediction would eventually come true. God was supremely loving and patient with the children of Israel, but unfortunately, like us, they mistook God's patience for God's approval. We forget that we can have our way. We can demand what we think is fair according to our standards. Oh, and we will probably get our own way, but along getting our way comes the C word, consequences. The book of Joshua ends with the people boldly claiming they would never forsake the Lord. What did they say? But the people answered Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. We say that when we're here, and then we go out the door and go to Tim Hortons and they aren't fast enough giving us coffee and we get irritated. Not that I have done that. Joshua pressed the Israelites to understand the seriousness of their commitment, and they repeat their pledge. They say it again. We will serve the Lord our God. We will obey him alone. However, with the death of Joshua, a great spiritual leader and military commander to the people, they lose their way. Joshua had kept them focused on God by reminding them to remember the strength and promises of God. The people would fail, and their corporate and individual failure would end in disaster. They ceased to remember. The tradition of remembering is what we are doing this weekend. We are remembering those who fought and died. And whether we like the political machinations of it and we look through history and all the terrible things, the thing was, they died for freedom. And it was 5 long years in Europe and in the Pacific. And that's that war. Then there's the other wars. And then we're still warring today. And where is it taking place? In the Holy Land. How ironical. It does not mean when we remember that we glorify, justify, or encourage war. It does not mean that. Instead, it reminds us by remembering that there is a human cost. Those who have died and those who will die today and those who have survived are real. They have a name. They are our fathers, sons, daughters, mothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents. We need to remember, and we need to be reminded that freedom is never free. Today gives up an opportunity to say thank you for the sacrifice of the men and women of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let us pray. Lord of eternity, whose power is infinite, whose days are without number, and whose mercy is beyond our fathoming, keep our faces turned towards you, always towards you, so that each day we remember that life is your gift and the hour of death unknown. And when we finally meet you face to face, transform us in the fire of your love and receive us into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.